Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, have you ever noticed how much that you can learn about somebody from just their eyes? Just these two little things, just their eyes can tell us so much about a person. It can tell us what they're feeling, what they're thinking, even sometimes what they've already done. For instance, if I walk home through my front door this evening and I see Charlie, our little dog, hiding in a corner with his eyes down and his ears back, looking at the ground, I know he's made a mess. And he knows he's in trouble. There's just something about eyes that communicate so much. The French have a saying for it, and it's made its way into English. I'm sure we've all heard some variation of it before. The eyes are the mirror of the soul. The ancient Romans used to say the eyes were the interpreter of the mind. Even Jesus said that the eye is the lamp of the body. There's just something special about eyes. And everyone knows it. But I want to throw out a different saying for us to ponder this evening. Looks that could kill. Or how about this one? Staring daggers. You know, even if you don't know what those two things mean, you've never heard it before, you know what is being said. You know the feeling of it. Because we've all been there before. We all know that feeling that when somebody is so angry, no, furious at you, that it looks like they're trying to murder you with their eyes. Where you can feel the anger on the skin. Looks that could kill. Glaring daggers. Well, if I had to guess, I'd say that the Pharisees from our gospel reading this evening were probably glaring daggers at Jesus. They had been for a long time. They had been following him around. They've been trying to trick him, trap him in something he's been trying to say, somehow get one over on Jesus, and they just never could. And that made them mad. But none of that matters anymore, because tonight, they've got him. They've got Jesus. They've planned it out. They've arrested him. They've got him in court. And why? Because Jesus spoke the truth. Specifically, he said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Not exactly the rhetoric we would expect from how to win friends and influence people, but it was what the Pharisees needed to hear. See, Jesus was saying, what you're preaching is good, but you're not living it. He was warning them. He's saying, repent, turn back. The road you're on is only going to end up hurting you. But what do Pharisees do? They get mad. Who do you think you are? They get furious. How dare you? They shoot. They stare daggers until that's not enough. And they do what we see them do this evening. And they try to kill Jesus. But you know what? Good thing we aren't like that, right? I mean, you and me, whenever we get mad, it's always over something reasonable, right? I mean, I know when I get mad, it's always justifiable. No, I have to get mad. It would be wrong for me not to be mad. It's only fair. Or at least that's what we tell ourselves when we're the ones who are angry. When we're the ones who are shooting daggers. Because you see, when we're doing the measuring, we're always the exact right amount of mad. We always have the perfect reason to be angry, and the other person, they always deserve it. But that's when we're doing the measuring. Things are different when Jesus is doing the measuring. Because what Jesus says, "But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother is liable to judgment." More than that, Scripture says, "Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer." And you know that no murderer has abiding life or eternal life abiding in him. Just a little bit further, it says, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' but hates his brother, he's a liar. Because how can one hate his brother whom he has seen and then love the God who he has not seen?" No, the Bible's very clear on this. Whoever is angry with his brother is a murderer in his heart. They're guilty. And I don't think anybody here can talk their way out of that. Because we all get angry. And when you're angry, it's hard to see anything else. Trust me, I know that. I can take something that I'm mad about and just hold on to it for a whole day, just turning it over in my mind, looking at all the different angles, thinking about that thing I should have said to really get back at whoever I'm mad at. The simple truth is, I get stuck. I get stuck being mad. And I can't see anything past it. It's all daggers all the time. And I need help if anything's going to change. I need something to correct my vision. I need a new perspective. I need Jesus. Because Jesus, well, he sees things differently. Because for me, it's easy to hold on to a grudge, white-knuckled for my whole life, never wanting to let it go, something I just refuse to let go. But with Jesus, there are no grudges. No, with Jesus, there is forgiveness, over and over, again and again, second, third, fourth, fifth, a million chances. There is no limit. There is no end to Jesus' forgiveness, because there is no end or limit to Jesus' love. You see, when you and me, when we get angry, we throw up those walls. We get these divisions between us. We place those others in boxes that make them easy to hate. Oh, he's just an idiot. This guy, he's a Republican. She's a Democrat. They're different. You see, when we get angry, we throw up walls. But when Jesus enters in, he takes them away. He tears them down, because with Jesus, there are no boxes. No, with Jesus, there is only a world he came to save. There is only sinners who need his help. Because you see, when we get angry, we hold on to grudges. We throw up those walls, but Jesus, he sees things differently. Scripture tells us that God showed his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, he sent Christ to die for us. While we were still sinners. You see, Jesus had every reason to be mad. Mad at the Pharisees for everything they were doing to him. Mad at us for our blatant hypocrisy, mad at every single person in the world. But instead, Jesus chose love. He loves you. He loved the Pharisees. He loved every angry, hypocritical murderer in this whole world. And that includes me. You see, that's what these next 40 days are about. That realization. It's about taking a good, hard look at ourselves and seeing that we are that angry hypocrite. Because when it comes right down to it, we don't practice what we preach. We don't walk the walk, no matter how much we talk about peace and love. And on Ash Wednesday, we come together to say, woe to me, for I am a hypocrite. And we put ashes on our heads to remind us of that fact. To dust we shall return. Lent is a somber time, but it is also a hopeful time. Look to the person sitting next to you. Every Ash Wednesday, for thousands of years, these ashes have been placed on foreheads, but always, always in the sign of a cross. Because that sign of the cross points us to our only hope. It points us to Jesus. Because all those times that we failed, he succeeded. Where we were angry or hypocritical, he was kind and loving. And so when our Heavenly Father looks down and sees these crosses on our foreheads, he doesn't see a bunch of angry hypocrites. He sees Jesus. He sees his love for us. And even though we are in a somber time, that is our hope. Jesus always. Jesus only. Amen.